pie. Think you got good beer. Here a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, man, fish pie, if you got good bait, I'm going to fish it. My mama gonna...
All right, there we go. Leaf, you there?
How you doing, Dad?
Leaf is here. It's time for a fishing report. I'm good. No, God, I'm good. I, you know, every time somebody comes in from outdoors, I'm going, it looks really nice out there. Is it nice? And you said, yeah, it is nice out there. You're writing me a note. Yeah, I'm recording. I did hit the record button. Yeah.
You never know with you, you know.
No, it's happened before.
We've rarely had to do a second take, but it's usually because of that.
I know. No, no. I got you covered there. So I'm super interested to talk about, fishing. We've got Memorial Day coming up, which is going to make a big change in your world, I know.
Yeah. It's going to be a little crazy at first, you know, on that river, these three rivers.
Well, yeah.
But you better believe I'm going to try, and I think I got some spots in mind.
Well, you know, I've been coming to work on the back county road, so I don't get to see so many spots in the river. But, I don't know, maybe I came Monday along the main drag, and plenty of water coming down. Yeah. It's kind of the color of my coffee with not quite enough cream in it.
I was just up the Twisp River and still gin clear above Bridge Creek. That won't last, no illusions there. But, you know, things like the Upper Medhow, as far up the Chewook as we can get, you know, might be looking better. Mm-hmm. It might just go up and down though. You might have some days where it's good and other days where it just blows back out. Just depending on the temperatures and the spring runoff.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, we got statewide rivers open everywhere.
All of them. Unless they say you can't, then all of them should be open on Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
So that might mean some rivers are really fishing well. Like I was thinking the Okanagan, if it doesn't change, should be kicking out some good smallmouth. When it's pushed up brown and into the bushes on the sides is when it actually performs best. For smallmouth there.
You're kind of on a bass kick here the last couple of times.
I've been trying to get back into what once was a big majority for a while there of what I was doing.
I think I remember you and some of my relatives bass
fishing.
Yeah,
your boy and I did a lot of lip ripping together there fishing bass as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just more of just there's only so many options. Some of these cases around here we've got kind of funky quality. We had Dibble winter kill. We had looks like one group of fish died in Big Twin. Ryan Fortier went through there with the local biologist, went through with the gill nets, and that's one of the ways we sample that we've talked about, and found only one group of fish, and it looked like the ones that had just been planted. So looks like they're working on diverting some fish from another lake that's having some trouble, Blue Lake. That whole string over in the Sinlihican is chock full of copepods that are forming on the fish's gills and skin and starting to kill a lot of fish. We think we pretty much lost our kokanee run, a native kokanee run in Palmer Lake in the last 2 years.
So when you have a winter kill or maybe it's different for this infestation, but is it like 100% kill?
No, you know, in my experience, most of the time it's not. Like 60% of the time I'd say it's not complete. You'll get either like five left or you'll get a group of fish left. Maybe some of the older fish are trying to recondition after a spawn or something and they're already kind of stressed out and stretched to the max.
So they're maxed.
So they might pass. But rarely is it all. And like we've talked about in the mountains, a lot of the time we're looking for either a little bit of spawning ground, not too much, but enough to make a small population or a little bit of overwinter kill to make for there, again, a small but stout population. So it's not always a bad thing. But in this case here, we've got a lot of things that are, you know, either from the fires we've had or, you know, they're still kind of trying to figure out the answer on the Sinlihican thing and why the copepods are going off.
I was going to ask you. I mean, you kind of think maybe water temperatures changed, or something like that? I'm thinking
water temperature or nutrients, like right away is kind of the way my brain kicks in on that one. And, you know, they're just kind of looking at it. We've had the fires around there. We lost a few trees around there, so there's a little bit of shade. There's also inflowing water that may be warmer or maybe more dramatic and maybe carrying nutrients. You know, it just, it's sort of a black hole in what we know. He said he's been, Ryan said he's been talking to the one guy that he found that knows much about this, and he's kind of doing like his PhD on it. So we're looking to find out more about it.
So it sounds like somebody's probably going to get some information of what's different and maybe likely that caused this.
And I noticed that in the pictures I'd seen a fish from over there, it was mainly affecting the rainbows, and the brown trout in the same lake looked fine. So they're going to divert some of those rainbows over here and put them into Big Twin. So it's kind of a little bit of a shuck and jive there with some of the fish that I've seen happen in the past. You know, they're not going to waste time or the resource with a place that's kind of iffy. And so they'll divert that resource someplace else.
Okay. So those rainbow get planted somewhere.
Yeah, looks like they're headed for Big Twin. So that should be fishing back into shape soon. Little Twin, there again, small bit of winter kill. I did see two or three dead fish on the bottom, but I also caught fish in that same age group, which were about, you know, 3.5 to 4 pound fish. Very nice size rainbows.
Nice, yeah.
Also saw the catchables that were just put in there and those brook trout that were put in there last year or year before. Kicking around about 10 or 12 inches and stout, looking good. Great reports from Buck and some of those first reports from Black Pine as well. My friend Sarah, she went up there yesterday. So you can get in, although one of the reports that I got was you could get stuck up there still in some places. So just watch out, you know, don't go trying to turn around in what looks like maybe a small patch of snow. You know, things can be a little deeper than they appear. But it sounds like you can get up in there. That should be fun. It's going to be colder up there at first. Don't ever forget with that lake, man.
Yeah, that's
a good
point.
You're going up into the seat of the, you know, the mountains there, and you need to put on those layers again, your fleece coats, your whatever, you know, and just prepare for a little bit of wind, and it's got its own weather up there.
Yeah,
so it's beautiful, but it can turn real quick.
Yeah.
I did get out, though, and checked out a new lake. Been trying to do that lately, and it wasn't a bass lake, although I drove by a bunch of bass lakes and was drooling.
Yeah.
I went down to the Manson Point area, drove past Wapato, Roses, and Dry, some of my favorites for spiny rays, and that 17.5 pound tiger trout came out of Roses, so big trout, too.
Interesting.
But up above there, about 2 or 3 miles through this really pretty canyon is a lake called Antelon Lake.
Oh, yeah.
All brown trout stalking into there, and a few crappie we caught there, too. Uh-huh. A lot of fun. Some of, you know, a lot of the fish are smaller. Maybe there's a lot of fish in there or not a lot of people taking that 5-fish limit. It's stocked for like a 5-fish limit, and I don't, you know, there might not be enough fish getting removed or that makes too many fish getting put in. But I did manage to squeeze out one that was 20 inches, and it was a real nice-looking male brown trout. So
cool.
I definitely recommend that one. Kind of arid, but up in the pines. Really pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. You can get out there in your smaller boats. You're not going to get a bigger motorboat in there. Flat bottom, kayak, or the pontoon boats.
Okay. Okay. And there's something else that's being harvested right now.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Boy, I just pulled in about a softball-sized blonde yesterday. I was very excited
about.
Yeah, and I've got a few pounds that are starting to dry out. So
nice. We're talking
like
morels, folks.
Some.
It's one of the great things about living around here. Morels pop up, and even more so than usual because of the fires and so on. So
seems like a good
spring.
It's a bonus, you know, for all the fire that and the smoke that we have to put up with sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe go revisit the old burn scars out here. Carefully, you know, and always, you know, just there could be some out roads up there.
Oh,
so don't go counting on going any one place or the other.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
be aware of what's open.
Well,
which also leads us to the one quick tip I wanted to hit on the double ORC. My homies, though, are at the Okanagan Open Roads Coalition.
Yeah,
hey, you know, 49ers guys would probably have a hard time getting through the mountains if there weren't open roads, and we all would too if they keep washing out like
this.
And the rest are privatized.
Well, you know, the thing that I think about these open roads is most any road that's been here followed probably the path of Indian trails or, you know, they're historic.
They're superimposed upon the historic usage routes because they're the most sensible route.
Yeah, wagons followed, you know, foot.
Absolutely.
Cars, when they could, followed wagons. It kind of makes sense, and it's a little...
And they're kind of our fallback, huh?
Yeah, well, there's definitely that, too, but they're just historically important, and they should be maintained just as that.
Yeah, I guess I forget because I grew up around so much stuff that's only a few generations out. You know, I hear a lot of tales from like my old buddy Thurlow that talks about knowing the natives here and and having them camp on his land and stuff like that. I mean, this is a great place with a lot of history and there, definitely deserves to be protected.
Yeah,
for sure.
There is. So, yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, you bet. I know you can check them out on Facebook, the Okanagan Open Roads Coalition, and they're at Gmail too, okanaganopenroads@gmail.com. Shoot them a note. Let them know that you love to use it too, and you'll support them. Hey, but if it comes down to booking trips or fishing tips, you know who to call, and that's me. And we're at 509-429-7298, or you can get a hold of us at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com or check out the blog or podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. Take care of each other. Get that sun on your skin. Get out there and have fun. Maybe pick a morel or two, but definitely get that fish right on. Mama gone fishing, baby gone fishing too.